Lesson 16 in the book of Ephesians, as we continue our study here, we left off in verse 16 in chapter 2. Let me read down starting verse 11 once again. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Now, last lesson we talked about that by the cross, and we're going to hit that a little bit again later on today, but you think about this. A lot of people say that the body of Christ started at the cross. And they'll use this word right here, and they'll change by to the word at. You know, just think about that. Where was Christ Jesus at after he died on the cross? He was where? In the ground, wasn't he? In the grave, in the center of the earth for how many days?
3 days.
So that would mean if Jesus Christ, if the body of Christ started back here at the cross, that would mean that it was started before the resurrection or the Holy Spirit come. So you can't make that happen there. See? But we understood that. That he might reconcile. Now there's four kinds of reconciliations in Paul's epistles. You remember what they were? Somebody shake your head. There's four types of reconciliations in Paul's epistles. First one, since I know you know this, so you still have your notes, but look. First one is dispensational reconciliation. Now, when we went through Romans, we studied this out very clearly. The second one is the individual reconciliation. The third one is reconciliation of the body of Christ. And the fourth one is a universal reconciliation of the system that's in heaven and earth. You need to understand those four, and we're going to look at those right quick since we're studying about the reconciliation. The first one is a dispensational reconciliation that I share. And it's called the reconciliation of the world. You know what reconciliation is?
Yeah.
Make right. Okay, make right. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11:11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and to diminish of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, as much as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are in my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, when Israel fell, the verses said they did. Whether you want to realize it or not, they had fallen. When they failed, did the Gentiles get eternal life? You know that's crazy, isn't it? They did not get eternal life. When Israel was risen back here in times past, did the Gentiles get eternal life? They did not get eternal life. Reconciliation means what? To change the status, to bring together again. We talk about when people's having marital issues, don't they? They want to be reconciled back together. But Israel is cast away. That's what the verse says. They have cast away. They had fallen down here. They're cast away. Now, Israel and the Gentiles are both in what? Belief or unbelief?
Belief.
Unbelief. See, if Israel, if God was working through Israel in times past, they was the believing remnant. Let's put it that way. But we realize that the political leaders and religious leaders, they didn't want to know who God was, so they went on and created their own righteousness. So when God came through John the Baptist, God the Father, what did he do? They cut his head off, didn't they? They refused to see him. When God the Son came, what did they do? They crucified. When God, through the Holy Spirit, Stephen, they stood up. And then what did they do? They stoned them. So that's three strikes that the nation Israel, through spiritually, that they had fallen. So think about this for a minute. When God no longer worked through the nation Israel, and he postponed that dispensation of the kingdom, then... And Paul says there's no difference, and we're going to get to that for a minute. They're all in belief. Not the saved Israelites, but the ones that didn't believe that kingdom message, they're just as bad as a Gentile in unbelief. So they're both in unbelief. Now the world, according to the verse, the world has been reconciled. I want you to think about that for a minute. God has brought them near again. God has reconciled them. Okay, God, when he went looking for the Gentiles, let's just put this back. Back before Genesis chapter 11, when everything seemed like it was going pretty good, after Noah, God came down. What did the Gentiles do when God went looking for them?
They were hiding.
They was hiding. Yeah, they hid from them. They didn't want to know who God was. You know anybody like that today? Things hasn't changed. God never did not go to them and look for them. They said, we don't want you. We don't want to see you. So now you have, you know, how is that world is being reconciled? What have we been studying through Ephesians? That the distinction has gone away with. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Circumcised and uncircumcision. Jew, Gentile. There's no distinction there. So now everybody has a privilege. But you got to think about this. Does everyone have a privilege over the other regarding salvation? That reconciliation is not salvation, guys. Just because he has peace with the world today does not mean that everybody's going to be saved today.
It changed the status.
It definitely did. He's saying that once you were far off, and now you're made near. And that nearness is where it's talking about. There is the dispensation reconciliation. You're no longer far off, but you're nigh. He's here. He's at, you know, it's almost like at hand. Mm-hmm. We looked at Romans chapter 11, verse 15. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we no man. Know we him no more. We don't know the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know Jesus Christ after the glorified risen Lord. That's how we should know him, through our apostle Paul. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, why was he doing this? Why did he do this? That God was in who? Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's very, very important to know that is a dispensational reconciliation. See? It don't mean you and I are saved. It's just the status has been changed. The second is the individual reconciliation. Right now, as we know, through that dispensation, the world has been reconciled to God. The world's condition has been changed. And there is also called an individual reconciliation. That is where Paul is speaking in verse 20 there, right below it. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead," what does it say? "Be ye reconciled to" who? God. Now let me ask you something. Are the Corinthians not part of the world?
Who?
The Corinthians, when he wrote that, were they not part of the world?
Sure.
Okay. If the world has been reconciled to God, why does the Corinthians need to be reconciled to God?
Because it wasn't personal. Well, the world's not personal.
You see that?
It had to be personal.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have the world reconciled to God, but Paul is telling the Corinthians, "Be ye reconciled to God." That's the individual. Mm-hmm. Now, are they already reconciled?
No. No changes
there. No changes there, are they?
No.
But there must be something else involved in that verse 20 that we just read. And the thing is, the world has a status change because Israel has fallen. Now individuals of all types can come to God and be reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Remember what Romans 5:12 says? "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." See that? We had an enemy status against God. And the world had an enemy status against God. And the fact is about we can have our enemy status change to friendship status on the basis of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now, many of us have enemies in this world. You might as well say, yes, we do. You don't have them walking through your house, do you? You don't even like them walking through your neighborhood.
Mm.
But the thing is, but if you change that status between enemies,
mm-hmm.
hey, you'll welcome in your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
You'll bring them in your house.
Mm-hmm.
That they was once enemies.
Mm-hmm.
See that? It's still not the fact that they was enemies, but there's something that brought them reconciled back together. I was looking at that reconciliation and looking at conciliation. A conciliate. Is that right? I pronounced that right? I get these words missed. Take the R off. What do you have?
Conciliation.
Okay. Or conciliate. There's somebody that does that for us. And Jesus Christ done that for us. But we need to be brought back. And the fact is that He did that. On the basis of reconciliation of the world, the individual reconciliation of our enemy status has changed to sonship status. Okay? And we've been changed from being in Adam to being in who?
Christ.
In Christ. That's individually. And nobody can do that but you and God. With me? I can't do it for you. I can tell you about the world's been changed, but you've got to make that personal decision of who Christ is, that you don't make Him Lord of your life. He is already Lord. Okay? I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying you trust Him that He, by the death, burial, resurrection, He paid that payment. You're in Christ. That was the second one. The third one is a reconciliation of Jew and Gentile into what?
Body of Christ.
In the body of Christ. See, now Ephesians chapter 2, that's where we're at. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof." The virtue of that individual goes to Calvary, and as the individual reconciled back to God. That individual has his condition changed. It's like what I shared. You're no longer an enemy, but who? A friend, a son, godly, a child. And And in Adam, you're no longer in Adam, but you're placed in Christ. When that believing Jew heard that message of what God's doing through Paul, the believing Jew, once he heard Paul's message, right? Before he was lost, he's down here with the Gentiles. When that believing Jew is placed into the body of Christ, when that Gentile that believes placed into Christ, and then all of a sudden, guess what they no longer are?
Jew and Gentile.
Jew and Gentile. So I personally say, I'm no longer a Gentile. You know, we talk about, hey, you Gentiles, you know, but you're no longer a Gentile once you believe Christ Jesus died. Your status has changed. But we read, you know, last week we was talking about, well, he says, I'm apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. He, you know, it's like, okay, what was, I'm not a Gentile. No more. You understand that? But I do have an apostle that brought me to understanding who Christ Jesus was. Now I'm a member of the what? And I hope you are too. There are one in Christ. They're not two in Christ. They're not three in Christ. And I hate to bring this up, but there's people out there that will divide us. I mean, physically and spiritually and politically, if you want to go that route. And it's division, and you're like, you know, and you're listening, and your mind's, you know, confusing. But you know what you need to do? You need to just tone that stuff out a little bit. Just tone it out and just say, here's who I am. This is going to make a difference in my life.
Amen.
It's not going to make a difference in life in the political world. It's not going to. You have to start with this yourself, okay? And there's neither Jew or neither Gentile, no bond, free, male, female. But all are one. And all are part of a what? What we're studying in Ephesians chapter 2. Not only a body, but a new man. New creation. A new man. That is the reconciliation of one body, the formation of the new man. That's what God is doing. You see the different reconciliation? You know, we're one. We have been, our status has been changed. But you got people out there wants to take you, the member of the body of Christ, and change you back into an Israelite, a spiritual Jew, and live like they did. You can't do that. You know, you can't do that. You may think you can do that. And you want all the blessings that God promised Israel. Well, you've got just as many blessings over here spiritually right now, and you're going to have them all in ages to come. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I don't mean to be preaching at y'all this morning, but... Colossians chapter 1. You have a... The fourth one is a future reconciliation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or what? Things in heaven. This is a future reconciliation of what? How many things?
All things.
Now you know what those all things are? You know what they are? Just throw something out there so I can say, you're right. You know what? It's not the green grass of the animals and the insects and all that stuff. That's not what he's saying, reconcile all things, because you've got to be very, very careful. You've got to stay in the context, because what is the context in the... you say spiritual blessings, whether they be things in where? In earth or where?
In heaven. Governmental structures.
You're right. You're right there. This is a classic passage of the universal reconciliation. All right? Stay with me now. Reconciliation. People will say, see, when it's all said and done, God's going to reconcile everybody. Don't matter if you died before, lost, saved, even the devil's going to get reconciled. Right? That's dangerous. But that's not what that passage is saying. They include every unsaved person. And yes, it does say what? All things. But Paul spells it out, all things. You got to go back to verse 16. With me? Look at verse 16. Verse 15 says, Who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible? Can you see things on earth?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see?
Trees.
Well, you say trees and what?
People.
Okay, keep that thought. And things invisible. Now, can you see invisible things up in the heavenly places right now?
No.
Would they be trees up there?
Yep.
Would it be plants,
yep,
birds, bees, flowers of the trees and all that stuff?
Yep.
But look, invisible, whether they be what? Here you go. This is the focus. Whether it be thrones and dominions and principalities and powers, all things were created by him and for him. You see that? For all things. That's what he's talking about there in verse 20. It's that power, it's that dominion, mounts and powers. It's a governmental structure. It's not talking about so much the people. You with me? That's why you got to be very, very careful with that passage. Universal reconciliationists will eat you up with that, saying that. And it's just wrong. You know how you take stuff out of context? It's wrong, isn't it? When you read it. So, remember, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I went through that really fast, but that's just me. I apologize. Ephesians chapter 2, you've got to remember this. Verses 13 through 15. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. You got to remember, that doesn't have to do anything, what we just read, with individual reconciliation. He did that for the world. And getting into eternal life and justification and righteousness and being in the body of Christ, that ain't got nothing to do with that. You and I in there. The verses have to do with a dispensational distinction in verses 11 and 12 being done away with. Remember those distinctions right there? We preach that to death, don't we? Ephesians chapter 2, 11 and 12. You know that in times past, God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile. He put them up here and gave them, made them adopted and gave them promises and thrones and all that stuff. Down here, you was without Christ. Mm-hmm. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without Christ. That's scary. That's the way it was, but that's the way God had that dispensation back then. Mm-hmm. Then verses 14 and 15, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. What was that middle wall?
The wall.
And what fortified that wall? The middle wall was also circumcision. And the law fortified that circumcision. Hey, you can't go over there, you Gentile. I'm serious. They had a 4-foot wall around that thing. They had a court of Gentiles. Don't get me wrong. They had their place in that temple. But a Gentile like me could not cross over that wall. It meant death.
Mm-hmm.
And they would kill you. That's why when Paul took Titus there, they got all upset. But when he took Timothy was circumcised. They didn't have much issue with that. But Titus, father was Greek, if I'm not mistaken, and his mother was probably Jewish. He didn't compel. And they were like, oh, you can't have this guy here. You know? It's against law. Even we know when Lord Jesus Christ was showing Peter that things was going to change, and Paul come to Peter and said it changed already. This is what God's doing. Peter didn't just say no, it didn't. He understood what God was doing, but he went to Cornelius' house. He tells Cornelius, it's not lawful for me to be here. You with me?
Yeah.
Even God told him, said, go. Things are changing. He says, not lawful for me. That's traditions.
Right. He was
ingrained in your thoughts. You think about where you was at before you come to some understanding of right division. You know, you was under law and your members was fighting freedom and fighting liberty and fighting grace messages. And it's like, man, my grandma went here. You know what I'm saying? And my daddy went here and my brothers and sisters and my aunt would never speak to me again. And then you say, you know something? I want to be right. And you line yourself up with God, what God's doing today. So, you know, why did he do that in verse 14 and 15? Why did he abolish the enmity in his flesh, the law, commandments, and ordinances? Why? Why did he break down that dispensational distinction? But what does the verse say?
To make a new man.
See? Wouldn't that be wonderful today if everybody was together as one new man? That's why when you come here worship corporately, we together one new man, aren't we? Whether when you walk out here outside, you're still together in one new man in Christ Jesus. See? And that's why it is. It says he would create it one new man, so making what?
Peace.
That's not just dispensationally, but individually. We need to see that, guys. When you're out there sharing some things about the Bible and sharing something what God is doing today, you need to say, hey, here's what he's doing today. That's why Paul's epistle starts out, grace and peace. You ever notice that? Every one of them. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. That's totally different between you get on that side, I'm on this side. They against us. That's sad. I understand that. And you know, you got to understand about that reconciliation too, or you'll wind up getting everybody saved. Now that would be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? No matter what you've done, you know, you never heard Jesus Christ before or believe in God before, he's going to save you. Everybody has the opportunity. Time's past, but now and ages to come. But he lays it out in his Bible. You got to know the difference between those four reconciliations. To them, two of them that we're talking about are here in this passages. You got the dispensational reconciliation, individual reconciliation. And by the way, before I go any further, verse 13 in Ephesians 2:13, that is a spiritual wall. Okay? That was a spiritual wall that you couldn't get to God. It's broken down. Then you have verse 14, for he is our peace who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall partition between us. That is a legal wall. Just like we're talking about. They had legal rights to keep you away. Just like they have legal rights to keep you out of these buildings if they're public or private. There's laws that says you can't go in there and tear this place up. You know, you with me? That's legal wall. Then, verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, not at the cross. It didn't happen there. We used that thoroughly. But by the cross, having slain the enemy there, that's the physical wall. There's no longer physical walls between us. There's three types of walls there that you need to understand that's done away with. And the word isn't used down through the passages like we're saying, but the doctrine is. You with me? The doctrine is. That first dispensation, the first one was that distinction, was separation and alienation. I don't like to be alienated. You? I don't want to be separated. You know what I'm talking about? When you love somebody and you want to be a part of them, do you want to be separated? Do you want them to say, when you pull up in the driveway, the blinds go, the lights go, don't say a word.
You know,
I don't want to be that way. You know, I always joke a little bit about being aliens and stuff. You know, my daughters in the past was to say, Dad, you believe in ghosts? I said, yeah. I said, I've been in aliens too. What? Well, it says I was alien from the Commonwealth of Israel. I was an alien. You know, I don't have antennas or live on Mars. But think about this. The dispensation alienation in verses 11 and 12 is done away with. It's no longer there. Now the entire world stands on an equal footing before God. And all the world can be saved. They can be saved. But in time past they couldn't. And the verses 16 through 18, the believer, the believing Jew, and the believing Gentile are placed together in the body of Christ and reconciled into the body. Please get that down in your mind, because you're no longer a Gentile. They're no longer Jews if you believe Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. You're placed into a body. We need to be members, one in particular, with Christ Jesus. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And people say, it's in Christ and by the blood, so that's all believers. You see that right there? Verse 13, in Christ and by the blood. But that's not right. The term in Christ, what do you think that would mean? If you're in Christ, it's a what? It's in, but what, there's a term that I'm looking for that, what is it? One new man. Or a redemptive term was what I'm trying to say. If you're in Christ, you're saved. Nobody's in Christ, they're lost. Grace. Nobody in Paul's epistle does he write to as a lost person. He don't write to lost people. And here he's already talking about. So the verse is not saying that in Christ everybody that was afar off may nigh. It's not saying that. Were some Gentiles in time past, and Gentiles that didn't get in Christ? In times past, were there Gentiles that didn't get in Christ?
Yes. It did get in or didn't?
Did not.
Yes.
Did not, okay.
Same today.
Were they afar off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are they afar off now?
Some of them.
Now think about what I just said. Where's the world reconcile that?
In Christ.
No, not in Christ. The work, God is dispensation of reconciliation. The world is where?
A new foundation.
They're made not. They're made nigh. They're near to God now.
Okay.
Now whether they choose it, it's differently. But they're not far off, guys. Today, nobody in this world, on this earth, that can't be or are not nigh to God.
They're near with a measure of faith too.
Well, is the word faith nigh unto them? Is the word faith nigh to them?
Well, you have to have faith.
Yeah. It's there, ain't it?
Yeah.
Okay? It's everything's right there with the guy. You know, you look at the lost person. Here's what I'm trying to say. God has not got a barrier.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't build a wall. It ain't us and them. To the world right now, God Almighty, God Creator, is nigh to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody has an opportunity. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female.
Yeah, it's personal choice.
That's what the individual reconciliation is. Isn't the opportunity given to them without distinction? You know it is. But we have religious systems out there that says, no, you have to do it this way, you have to be it this way.
Through the law.
They put you right back under that.
Mm-hmm.
And God's not doing that, guys. Men are doing that.
Oh, okay.
Traditions of men. Doesn't Paul have totally unrestricted apostleship and ministry to go to all men without distinction today?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
It don't mean that they're saved. Now you got to get that right in your mind right off the bat. The wall is down. Everybody's on equal basis down here. Whether you know, I'm talking about the lost person right now. Okay. Everybody's out right
the
there.
Ground is level at the foot of the ground.
Okay. They can come and get saved quick as a Jew can today.
Anybody.
And they couldn't in times past, but they can today. And there is no more distinction. We need to realize that. They are one. And they are at the same level. They're at the same level. If everybody's lost, unbelieving Jew and unbelieving Gentile, they're lost. They're equal. Then if you got somebody, the Israelite today, if they believe Christ died for your sins and buried, rose again, or us Gentiles believe that, we're equal. But we're in Christ and they're not. God don't make that distinctions today. They're one. Both of them have with no hope over on this part over here. They have no hope except where? In the gospel that they hear, the faith. That's where the faith hears. You know, I don't know if you can remember that far back, but there might have been a time in your life that you realize, you know something? I heard that Christ died for my sins and buried and rose again.
Amen.
And I read it, saw it in a book. I'm going to put my faith in that because you know something? I can't do it. That's the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you heard that and it transformed you on the inside. Now, if you're like many of us, we jumped right into religion. And we said, you got to be dumb. No, that wasn't good enough. You got to be poor. No, that wasn't good enough. You got to be sprinkled. No, that wasn't good enough. No, I'm going out here and kill a goat now. I'm going out here and give all my money on this side. And this side, I don't know what they're doing over here. And God's in this building. He's not in that building. God didn't tell you to do that.
Back then, that was the law.
And people, but even today, people will put you under that law saying that God's telling you to do this. He's not telling you to do that.
That's because your flesh wants to be a part of something. It wants to do something.
Let me finish with this. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry today. Every one of us, if you're saved. To wit, that God was in Christ. That's the cross. That's the blood of Christ. Reconciling the world unto who? Himself. Not unto you and I. Himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The basis of the dispensation of grace, and the way that God could produce the dispensation of grace itself, is the cross. Things happen at the cross, guys. But it's by the cross that the prophetic program, the cross, is a source of enmity and hatred between God and man. You ever realize that? They put the Son of God on the cross because they hated him. You know, that's a hatred. But to God, it was his plan for redemption. And, you know, he speaks to them in wrath. That's why they have that sin debt to pay for over here. Israel does. And the world does, really. The world's going to get their time. And you got to remember that Paul says God's attitude towards the world today is grace and peace, not judgment and war. That the only way God Almighty can send out his grace is by the cross. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for so many things in our life. And as we understand this dispensational view of reconciliation, what a blessing it is to know that there is no barriers today to someone that wants to come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.